From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Now to the Horn of Africa nation of Somalia. Days after Ethiopian forces drove Islamists out of the capital, the transitional government is trying to get people to disarm. Residents of Mogadishu have until Thursday to hand their weapons over, or Somalia's transitional government threatens to take them by force. But many in Somalia's capital city have not fully accepted the authority of the transitional government, and the weapons aren't exactly pouring in. NPR's Gwen Tompkins has the story.
At Villa Baidoa, the ruined home of a former prime minister of Somalia, no one has turned over as much as a water gun. The Ethiopian and Somali troops are mostly standing around eating bananas and watermelon slices they got from a roadside vendor, who is twice as busy because he has only one hand. At the windy old seaport, the second drop-off point for guns, there are three goats and a shepherdess ambling the grounds. Halima Halawi is happy about the transitional government's ultimatum.
Again, I have only these goats and the sheep. Then if they ask me to turn over this, I turn them over if they bring security.
A trim middle-aged soldier in starched camouflage and red plastic flip-flops confirms that no one is coming with weapons. Day one is a bust. Ethiopian troops who helped push out the Islamic Courts Union have been assigned to help take in the guns that the residents of the city are supposed to be turning over. But anti-Ethiopian sentiment in Mogadishu can run pretty strong. Sitting in a stale hotel dining room in western Mogadishu is a man here who won't identify himself. He used to do odd jobs for the Islamic Courts Union and had hoped to take a position in one of their ministries. Now he's not sure where he'll work, and he says he won't give an Ethiopian the satisfaction of getting his gun.
I'm not afraid of dying or something like that, but if I turn over my gun, they humiliate me. So that's why I'm keeping my gun.
But it's not only distrust of the Ethiopians, he said.
If the residents in Mogadishu are only disarmed, it may be a problem because there are hostility between some clans.
And on that thought hangs an even bigger tale. In Somalia, people are faithful, above all, to their clan. Somalia has a handful of major clans and more than 100 sub-clans. And in Mogadishu, as in the Islamic Courts Union, the majority clan is called Hawiya.
Somalis are one in general. They have same language, same culture, same religion.
Sheikh Muhammad Ali is an elder of the Asharaf, itself a sub-clan of a sub-clan.
The Somali people are divided into sub-clans because if now you have a child, you give a name. And if your child has a child, gives a name, another name. So that's the generation. The sub-clans are the generation.
When Ali meets strangers in the street, he almost immediately tells them what clan he's from.
I'm from Ashraf clan. I'm especially Bin Hassan clan. I'm the sub-clan of Wabgale. Then I'm Hassan Yahya.
Imagine a chessboard with four sides of battle, four different royal courts, and four different lines of pawns. Each side would represent a major clan in Somalia, the Hawiya, the Darod, the Deer, the Rahawain. There are also some smaller clans who want a piece of the action. Clan tensions and clan customs have provided structure for this country during 16 years of anarchy. Somalia's interim government is supposed to represent all the clans. But back to the man at the hotel dining room in western Mogadishu. He says clans have hurt Somalia far more than they've helped.
The Islamic courts were implementing the Sharia law, the Quran. And the real justice is the Quran and the Sharia law. The Quran doesn't consider whether you are from major clan, whether you are from minor clan. All the people have equal right in the Quran.
But even this man, who refused to give his name, had no problem telling us he is Hawiya. Everything else may have collapsed in Somalia, but clan identity remains strong. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Mogadishu.